I'm sure that we can. Okay, we left off the previous year. We began to discuss a little bit about the role of kavana in terms of all mitzvahs, but particularly, of course, focusing on the mitzvah of achilas matzah. So there was a machlokes in the Gemara about whether mitzvahs tichlus kavana, mitzvahs ain't tichlus kavana. And at the end of the day, the only thing that seemed pretty clear from the Gemara was that whenever you think about one mitzvah, you think about the other mitzvah. The Gemara actually jumped from the din of kavana, lach the rabbi matzah, to tkiyah shofar. And the Gemara quoted, at least according to some opinions, that kafa v'yocha matzah yotza, tkiyah v'shir yotza. And it's true, there are other opinions that disagree. The Gemara itself maybe even makes it machlokes ha'tanayim. But one thing is pretty clear, that the issue is the same. Bottom line is either yes tichlus kavana or ain't tichlus kavana. The problem becomes when we come to Shita Sir Rambam, when we look at the Rambam and see how does the Rambam paskin l'halacha and the shayla. So unlike other Rishon who commit themselves to either one view or the other, the Rambam splits between the two. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Chametz Matzah that ocho matzah below kavana is yotza. Problem is the Rambam in Hilchos Shoyitzvah writes that a takel l'shir is lo yotza. A person who blows shofar because they don't want to fulfill the mitzvah, they're just doing it for other reasons. The Rambam writes is not yotza. This of course is a big, big problem. You want to pass the mitzvah tichlus kavana gezunda. You want to pass the angels kavana. It's also fine. We want to split between different mitzvahs. That requires a lot of understanding. Why should that be so? So as we've seen many, many times in halacha, whenever you find a distinction between two areas of halacha that should be the same, so there are really two ways of approaching that. Either you take the approach that, well, let's say in our example, matzah is the rule, and shofar for some reason is the exception to the rule, or the other way that shofar is the rule and matzah is the exception to the rule. So it's not a great surprise that there are actually two different approaches in Rishonim. What is the rule and what is the exception to the rule within the Shita Sir Rambam? So if I was giving this year in Chodesh Tishrei, for Chodesh Tishrei, before Rosh Hashanah, I would probably say that matzah is the rule and shofar is the exception to the rule. And I spent the whole year trying to explain to you why shofar is the exception. What is so unique about shofar? And I would probably say something along the lines that it's exerce a kasso zichron trua. And if I wanted to really boost it up a little bit, I'd say, Kishof is a key of tefillah. And if I wanted to make it a little more labor, then I'd call you a Rav Chaim Ruchos tefillah. That tefillah without kavana is not a ma'aseh tefillah altogether. But it's not Chashel right now. And now we're going to say the other way around. We're going to say that we're going to assume that shofar is in fact the rule. And fundamentally, the Rambam Shita is that mitzvahs trichos kavana and matzah, the kayetzim are the exception to the rule. And the question is, why is it an exception? How is an exception conceptually? How in the world can matzah be an exception? How can you differentiate between shofar on the one hand and matzah on the other hand? So the Ran already quotes such a possibility, and it comes from Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The Ran invokes a Gemara that appears in Maseches Krisos that at first glance has nothing to do with that topic, but it's not the first, not the last time something that didn't appear to have anything to do with that topic would be invoked. The Ran references a Gemara Maseches Krisos about the following topic. The Gemara is discussing the intricacies of the din of misasik. Misasik means that a person does an avera, but he is clueless about the avera being done. Not that, for example, he forgot that it was Shabbos, and not that he forgot he knew how to cook on Shabbos. That's not what happened. He knows that it's Shabbos, and he got 100 on the Bishul Machina. He knows how to cook on Shabbos, but he has no idea that what just happened. He wasn't at all paying attention. All of a sudden, a Maaseh Bishul happened. We'll make it a little bit easier. He knows that it's Shabbos. He knows he's not allowed to light a fire in Shabbos. He knows that turning on an electric light, the incandescent bulb, is a melacha d'oraisa of Havara. But he walked into the room and his elbow banged against the light switch, and lo and behold, the light went on. So did he do Chil Shabbos? Yeah. Is he a shogeg? No. He's actually better than a shogeg. He's what's called the misasek. Shogeg means there are two kinds of shogeg, either shigas Shabbos or shigas melachas. Either you forgot it was Shabbos, or you forgot and never knew that you're not allowed to turn on lights on Shabbos. That's a shogeg, and such an action requires a korban chatas. But here, he wasn't even aware of a shasmaisa. He wasn't even cognizant of a shasmaisa. What he did, and he did it derech misasik bi'alma, and derech misasik bi'alma does not have to bring a korban. Just parenthetically, there is a machlokes a gedolei acharonim between the Nesivos and Rabbi Kivega about when a person does an aveira derech mesasek, is that just a patur korban? Means fundamentally he did something wrong. Fundamentally he's a bal aveira, but the degree of aveira is so low that the Torah doesn't even make him be a korban. It doesn't even need a kapora for that type of a shogeg, but it's still called a ma'ase aveira. What do I say now? Mesasek is like a ma'ase koyf b'yamu. I didn't do it. The fact that my body, my elbow turned on a light, but it was done without any cognizance whatsoever, no idea, no rational thinking whatsoever what I was doing, not like shogeg. Shogeg, you knew exactly what I was doing. I know I'm turning on a light. I just forgot a Shabbos. I just forgot, and I'll do that on Shabbos. But when something happens, and there was absolutely zero connection between your cerebral function and the action of your hands, so that's not called the ma'isa adam altogether, and that's not even together the aveira of an aveira ma'isa aveira altogether. That was a big machlokes between the Nesivos and Rabbi Kivega about how you view misasek. It's interesting that machlokes actually was started out as a machlokes about chometz, because the din is that chometz shavu v'pesach is aser b'hanah mid'rabbanon chometz shayisrael shavu v'pesach because of a knas that the person violated the isur by Rabbi Matzah. So the Nesivos raises the question, if a person violates by Rabbi Matzah without even knowing it, he didn't even know he had chametz. It's not that he forgot it was Pesach. It's not that he didn't think, not that he thought you were allowed to own chametz. He Pasha didn't even know he had chametz. It wasn't even Oyla Ladas that he had any chametz. So says the Nesivos, he didn't really violate by Rabbi Matzah. He's a Misasek. So why is the chametz al-Sabano? So Bikivegi responded back to the Nesivos that he did violate by Rabbi Matzah. It was b'shayeg. It was a very, very low level of Aveira. It wasn't even a shayeg that would have brought with it a carbon chattas and misakares, but a mice of Aveira it still is. So that was a long dish of machlekes from Kivega to Nesivos. What's that take on Misasek? Rabbi Kivega himself happens to turn around and say that even though I disagree with my colleague in Nesivos, but when it comes to Yisur Shabbos, I agree that he's right. Because Shabbos is different from other Yisur in the Torah. If you violate other Yisur in the Torah, derech Misasek, it's a mice of Aveira. If you violate Shabbos derech Misasek, it's not even a ma'aseh aveira. Why is that? Because what are the two magic words that govern the Shabbos? Melechus machshavos asur Torah. Not melechus machshavos. If you're not thinking, you're not planning, you're not a constructive thought of what you're doing, so b'chi agav, you can't be called a ma'aseh aveira. So b'kivega is along the shavar. That other yisurim in the Torah are yisurim derech Misasek, or be without a chattas, and Shabbos is not even a ma'aseh aveira. But getting back to the story, the Gemara in Kriso says that there are two areas of halacha where the Ptur B'Sasek doesn't apply. One is chalavim, one is arayas. So let's say in the Isra of chalav, a person ate chalav derech B'Sasek. How's a guy eat chalav derech B'Sasek? A guy's sleeping, and he's got his mouth open. Somebody comes in with him, and puts a piece of chalav in, and he wakes up. As he's waking up, this chalav going out. He didn't even know he was eating. He didn't know what was going on. His mom, she was clueless what happened. Gemara says, sorry, Charlie, you have to be a korban chatas. But let's say a person violated a riot. He probably had no idea what was going on. The guy was so out of it. He said, no, fly with it. All of a sudden, he did a ma'aseh. He didn't even know what was happening. So comes the Gemara says, sorry, you still have to bring a korban chatas. Why? Manishtanu chalabim v'arayas from other areas of Allah. So Gemara's two words. Shekein nehaneh. That since you derive hanah from the chalab, you derive hanah from the erva, you have to bring a korban chatas. So the tour of Misasek doesn't apply under these circumstances. Shekein nehaneh. So comes the Ran and says, just as Shekein nehaneh trumps the regular rules of Misasek, so too Shekein nehaneh trumps the regular rules of not requiring kavana. That the ikaron, you really, really should require kavana. Normally you require kavana for mitzvahs. The Rabbah Mitzke Shoif is the correct Rabbah. The emes is the starting point is that all mitzvahs require kavana. Elala. A mitzvah that is fulfilled to hanah, lemaisa, I enjoyed the matzah. The end of the day, now I'm full. The end of the day, I'm satiated from the matzah. So Shekein nehaneh tells me, just as Shekein nehaneh tells me that it's called the ma'isa aveira without knowing what's going on, so too Shekein nehaneh tells me it's called the ma'isa mitzvah without knowing what's going on as well. So the Rad is explaining with the Rambam that the rule of Misasek Potter that is overridden by Shekein nehaneh is similar to the rule of requiring kavanah to be a mitzvah. It can also be taken over by the rules of Shekein nehaneh. So what is the nature of what the Raja said? Is this Muskam? Is this a phenomenal Yisrael, the Raja said? Can we accept this Ran or not? So the Chayra, in order to explain the Ran properly, you have to go back to the ABCs and what the nature of the Din of Shekein nehaneh is altogether. It's a very strange thing. On the one hand, the Gemara says that Anything you do that was asking doesn't cast, it's not a problem, no korban. But chlamerai is a different shkenen. So yesh lachbar, what's the nature of that role shkenen? Why is it that shkenen makes a difference? So one can understand that the real chisar, the real deficiency of misasek, the reason why misasek is not chayav is because it's not my maisa. What happens simply through my physical actions, but it's not connected to my brainwaves, I'm not thinking about what I'm doing, so that's not maisa adam, it's not maisa gavra, that's like maisa kaipiyam, it's kind of just happening on its own. It's not me doing, my real, the essence of me is defined by my thought processes, by my plans, my ritzenis, my kavanas, that's really who I am. The physical body, my physical fingers, the fact that my fingers are turning on a light switch, my elbow is elbowing against a light switch, that's not me. That's not my maisa. So misasek is a hafkah for the maisa, for being called a maisa. One could argue that that it makes sense to say that the maisa that happened b'li kavana is not misyaches to me. That's when the maisa is not attached to hanoa. But when hanoa accompanies a maisa, what do you mean it's not my maisa? At the end of the day, I'm full. At the end of the day, I ate the chayla. At the end of the day, I received hanosis. At the end of the day, I have something to speak. When the maisa happens, the maisa is just, it's a maisa of turning on a light. So if I plan on turning on the light, that's my maisa other. If the turning on the light happened by itself and I wasn't thinking about it, a maisa happened in thin air, that's not misyachis to me. But when the avera has the dimension, the characteristic of hanoah to it, it's very hard to close our eyes on hanoah. It's very hard to ignore hanoah and just say, no, sorry, you weren't, that's not your maisa. We were a joke. What's with your maisa? Proof positive. Hanoah is a way to measure, it's a barometer to measure whether it's your maisa or not. And it's impossible to close our eyes on a. If that's the case, so then the Ran's comparison really makes a lot of sense. Why is it that mitzvah is chukas kavana? Why is it that if I do mitzvah without kavana, it's not the siyachis to me? It's not relating to me. It's just kind of happening on its own. So comes the Dirush Kenen and says, but if it's a kind of the mitzvah that has hanoah connected to it, so the hanoah connects it to me. The hanoah is mitzvah to me. The hanoah is mechaber to me. The hanoah shaboy makes that link. The hanoah shaboy is the bridge that connects between me and this floating maisa. And just as the hanoah shaboy works against me to be mechayv me a korban from misasik from the arayas, it can help me in the realm of mitzvahs to make me have the ability to be yaitzed in mitzvah. So that could be the beer in the realm.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
If you explain that that misasik makes you able to be yotzei the mitzvah because you got hana, why do you have to be a bar chiyuv when you get that when you eat the matzah? Like after if you're nishtata and then you become better, you say you have to eat the matzah again. But like when you also shesh kinyan, because right now you're full from the matzah you ate.
Right, very good, excellent. But again, that's a different void. The different void is that in order to register as a mitzvah, so the mitzvah has to be performed by a gavra mechuyav mitzvah. Otherwise, the word mitzvah means mitzuveh. So I have to be commanded to do the mitzvah. If I'm not commanded to do the mitzvah, so then by definition, it's called eating matzah, but that's not called a mitzvah achilas matzah. The mitzvah achilas matzah is to do the maisa mitzvah achilas matzah. Not enough just to do an action of eating matzah. It has to be a mitzvah achilas matzah. So if I'm not a gavra mechuyav, that's not called a maisa shel mitzvah. But one can raise the possibility that maybe that is not at all the beer and shekinenah. And if one accepts a very different understanding of what shekinenah means, then the entire Ran's comparison, his extrapolation, is going to unravel. Perhaps what shekinenah really means, the different, you say, different point. Perhaps what shekinenah means is that when we're dealing with an aveira that's a mice aveira, so then it makes a lot of sense to say, is a din of misasek. Misasek is not called a ma'is of it. But there are certain averas that the essence of the avera is not a ma'is. The essence of the avera is something else. It's not a ma'is of pa'ula. It's a l'mosh b'chil Shabbos, so it's a little sasek of malach. By many averas, it's an issue of asiyas of ma'is. So misasek is a chisorim, is a deficiency of the asiyas of ma'is. But let's say l'mosh, let's say you have a type of an avera that doesn't involve a ma'is altogether. Like l'mosh, the Nesivus says, you know why you're over, you know why the chometz becomes asabana when you violate a bar rovei motzei dech misasek? Because bar rovei motzei is not an aveira shel maisa. We spoke a little bit about this last night. 99% of the time, bar rovei motzei is not even violated with the maisa. By Rabbi Matzah is a matzav. I have chometz. It's an existence. It's not a maisa aveira. It's a mahus of an aveira. It's the very essence, being in the matzah, being in the status of only chometz, is what the Torah asks. So you can't talk the language of misasik. So some acharonim say that the reason why chalavim ve'arayis are not subject to the p'tur of misasik is for different part of the gamut. We spoke a little bit about this different times this year. What's the nature of the issa machalos asuras? Is machalos asuras fundamentally an issa pa'ula, an issa maisa, lo sochlu? You're not allowed to eat? Or is what the Torah really is objecting to is the person being nene from achilas issa? The fact that you're deriving the benefit, the food, the ingesting benefit from a piece of chazir, that's what the Torah asks. Now again, that doesn't mean the chazir is also manoch. Chazir happens to be more than it's not also manoch. But the isra achil shaboy is bi'ikaron and isra hanoch. Again, lower levels are not feeding to my dog, may not be also by different machos asuros. Now when the Torah asks is achila, so the real isra is the hanoch shaboy. You have to do a maisa achila, because without a maisa achila, it's impossible to receive hanoah shavuot. But the name of the game is really Yisra hanoah shavuot. If that's the case, that the focus of Bechos Asuros, or Gil Arayis would be the same word. The maisa bi is not the name of the Yisra. The maisa bi is the hechetimtza to deriving, to receiving that hanoah that the Torah doesn't want you to derive. So if that's the case, that the name of the game of a chalav and arayis is not so much a maisa, so then Shekinah makes a lot of sense. Shekinah means that the name of the Yisra is Hanoah Shavuot, not the Maisa Shavuot. So therefore, how could you be a potter? Because Shekinah is a mafkir for the Maisa being a thorough of Maisa Gavra. But here, when the focus is not on the Maisa Gavra, the focus is on the Hanoah Shavuot, so then all bets are off. Then Shekinah is not going to apply. It's in the Marshal, the Gemara says in Kedusha, the second Berak, that we happen not to pass in this way, but there was one opinion, Tanoim, Shema Azokin, who held Yeshua Sudvavir. So if Reuven appoints Shimon to kill Levi, when Shimon kills Levi, Reuven is Chayav Misa. According to one day in Shammai Azokin, even in Beis and Shemata, according to one opinion in the Gemara, Reuven, the one who hires the hitman, is actually Chayav Misa. Kushluch Shom Kivaisa. So we have the Baskin, that's not true. We Baskin, Eishat Zavad there. But in the world of Shammai Azokin, the Gemara has the following statement. The Gemara says, even Shammai would agree that if Reuven tells Shimon, listen, do me a favor and eat Chaylev on my behalf. Have in mind to eat Chaylev for me. Even Shammai agrees Shlichus doesn't apply. Why? Shekil lo matzinu zeh neh neh. It's inconceivable that one fellow should get Hanah, then the Shimon ate the food, and Reuven's going to bring the korban. That defies logic. Why? What does it defy logic? If I believe b'munah shleim yesh shlichus v'avera, if I hold like Shammai that Shlichus for Ritzicha, ma nishtar Shlichus for Ritzicha, then Shlichus for Achilus. So the word is, the Chacham explained, the word is as follows, that Shlichus makes sense when we deal with the Maise. Is there Maise Ritzicha? So Shimon's Maise Ritzicha, according to Shabbos, Mesiachah is back to Reuven. The same way that, let's say, Shimon's Mekadosh Anisha for Reuven, so the Maise Kedush is Mesiachah is back to Reuven. Shimon's Mekadosh Anisha for Reuven, the Gemish is Mesiachah is back to Reuven. But when you're dealing with Achila, so you're dealing with the Raya's, when the issue is not the Achila B'chlap, that's not the focus, that's not the name of the game, that's not the issue. The issue is something totally different. The issue is the issue of Hanoah Shavai. How could the Hanoah transfer? Hanoah is a reality. Hanoah is a mitzvah. Shekein l'matzidu zeh neh neh zeh mischayim. How could Shimon get that on? Reuven turn around, bring the korban chatos. So if that's the word of Shekein neh neh, that the nature of the issue is different, then the chadar is a big pill. Because Shekein neh neh makes a lot of sense by the isur machos asuras, but not by matzah. Would anybody in the right mind say, the mitzvah zachilas matzah is not really a mitzvah zachila? The Torah wants you to enjoy the matzah. That's the mitzvah. Nebuch, you have to do an achila in order to reach hanoah sa matzah. I'm like, so it's a joke. But you like matzah, you don't like matzah. The mitzvah be'erf teich l'matzah. The maize achila, Torah, kadesh, ben yishlot, chachmos, gave us a mitzvah be'erf teich l'matzah. So we have to do a maize achilas matzah. Whether you do like it, you don't like it, it's not relevant. So if at the end of the day you hold that a maisa that's done derech misasek, a maisa that's done derech likavod is not your maisa, how is Shekein Nene going to change that? According to the second side of Shekein Nene is not a way to be mechaber a maisa to the gavra. That's not at all what's going on. What's going on in Shekein Nene is that we're redefining what the essence of the yisur of Achol Sassurus is. That's very nice to gavi yisur, but that's completely meaningless vis-a-vis mitzvahs. Vis-a-vis mitzvahs, we know what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is Rav Tachla Batzahs. So if a maisa achila likavon is not your maisa, how in the world is your hanosha boy? How's that going to change anything? So a kopanim, we have two extremes in Rishonim. We have some Rishonim who say mitzvah is kavon all the time. You have other Rishonim saying it's the same Chichas Kavan all the time. We have the Rambam splits between the two. We're not sure what the difference between Shofar and Matzah is. We're suggesting that the rule is Chichas Kavan and Matzah is the exception. The only Peter that we have is to label Matzah as a Hanodik Mitzvah and to invoke the principle of Shekei Neneh. But again, that invoking Shekei Neneh only makes sense if you go down one way of understanding Shekei Neneh. The whole Shekei Neneh is a way to bridge the Maisa to the Gavra that can work for Yisur and for Mitzvahs. If the whole Shekei Neneh is a new definition of Machlos Asuras, that's clearly going to fall short in terms of Mitzvahs. So the end of the Heavenly Paskin, Chilis Kavanah, not Chilis Kavanah. So Shulchan Aruch Nefesh Krishma quotes both opinions, and then he says, V'chein Halacha V'chumrah. Shulchan Aruch Paskin, that Mitzvah Chilis Kavanah. And we're going to have Rambam the Gemara have a machlokes, that the Shulchan Aruch Mini Peter is Va'ada, the Mini Peter is Sofek. Nobody says that Mitzvah is the Rabbanah, it's not clear. Although in Uchus Pesach, the Shulchan Aruch does quote the split of the Ran. He says that if you ate Matzah without Kavanah, you technically would be Yitzay, and everyone agrees to that. So at the end of the day, Shtarav Kavanah. Bottom line is, before you eat Matzah, have a mind, Hashem, and Mitzvah's Matzah, should be good. The Mishnah Berurah posts with Chayyadam that if you sit down at the Seder table and you make a bracha and you sit and eat matzah, even if you weren't thinking about the matzah, that's how you still yotze. That's called kavanah. The guy walks at the shul, he puts on his tefillin, that's called kavanah. The guy comes to Shur Hashan and he hears the shofar, that's called kavanah. Ain't the sickness of kavanah mean the guy's takel the shir, the guy's munching on a piece of matzah, he's not even thinking about the Seder, he didn't make a bracha. You just stop munching on matzah. It happens to be a leil chamishas mini. So that's the sugya mitzvahs kavana. But when the guy had kavana, because he didn't think l'shem yichud, he didn't think chesidisha hachonish for the mitzvah. But the mice, he made a bracha. He sat down. He's sitting like this. He didn't use matzah. But what else do you need the matzah for? You have another. The guy standing in shul was shushana, and he said l'mnatzeach 7 times, and I the oil was al yoinim, and he forgot. He wasn't paying attention when the rabbi said before the kishur, "Evoch shabamant lo shofar." He's still screaming out in a meitzah. He doesn't know what the rabbi's talking. He didn't listen to the rabbi. So, no, he didn't have kavana. Who's got kavana? That's okay. Some of those we get a little too hits about kavana today. I remember there was I was once at a chassid, and the Shemesh fellow came up with me after the chassid, the chup, and he said, you know, I'm not sure whether that kavanah, the shem kinyan kedushim, the shem ishos, the shem mitzvah, the shem chavois, the shem deya, 15 different kavanahs. But there is shikul toif rukhan, this shikul, I'm not sure I had it all in mind under the chup. Threw my arms around me and said, you know, let me tell you something. When your great grandfather married your great grandmother in Poland, in little shtetl, I guarantee you that he didn't have in mind kavanahs ishos, kavanahs kinyan, the rabbi said, say a reyat, he said a reyat, put the ring around and show it. I said to him, don't worry, your great grandparents were still married to the Evid. So we got all taken aback. Only with the Evan. No, it's a joke. I said, of course they were married. It's okay. It's still married. So anyone who got married, even if you didn't have a mind, the Shem Yichud, Kutcha Brichat Shchim, the Evan just still married. Okay, good. Everyone should. Now, don't worry about it. Okay, back to that story. So our starting point is going to be, we're going to try to have Kavanah, hopefully, when we have Manta. What does Kavanah mean exactly? So Kavanah means very, very bare minimum. It means it's the Shem Mitzvah. That's it. Nothing fancy. The Shem Mitzvah is Hashem. That's the Shem Mitzvah. Do we ever find that certain mitzvahs require almost an additional level of kavanah? And if we do, is matzah by some reason, for some chance, one of those mitzvahs. So there is a famous sugya, I put it on the Ma'am Komis a little bit, the second paragraph of Masechus Brachas, where the Gemara first talks about mitzvahs, shirus, kavanah in general, and then the Gemara all of a sudden starts to veer off a little bit and starts to talk about Krishma. We spoke about this in the 4:30 Chabura the other day. And then the Gemara quotes psukim, and sugyas, and machleksim, and different shitas, about kavanah that you have to have for Kriya Shema. And it would appear from the Gemara that there is something unique, there is something special going on here, there is something that is being discussed that is not part of the regular rules of kavanah that we're used to by other mitzvahs. So this is the big machlokes that we show between the Ramban and the Rashba. But what, if anything, extra is going on in the Gemara? So the Ramban says nothing. The Ramban says it's the same sugya. It's the same the Gemara, the same discussion, whatever you think about shofar, lulav, matzah, kiddin, it's all the same. Kriya Shema is no different. Again, it may mean you need kavanah for Krishma, if we pass considers kavanah, but there's no din kavanah protest by Krishma above and beyond other mitzvahs. And the Rashba disagrees, and the Mishnah Berurah says Krishma quotes this Rashba. The Rashba says, now, if you look carefully at the Gemara, would appear, unlike the Ramban, that there are actually two different sugyas going on. But there's one general sugya din klali about kavanah, and that's a very simple kavanah, that's kavanah latzeis. But then there's a second kavanah of kavanah sa'inyan, kavanah spirishanilas, kavanah paying attention, concentrating on what you're doing, that's a different kind of kavanah. And that kavanah taka is necessary for Krishma, not for the whole Krishma, for part of Krishma. How much of Krishma? So it's much like this. One Tana says the whole parak, one says part of the parak. We pass in the halacha mikra in the first place. Shema Yisrael, you have to say, Rakshim, also with the Rabbanah. But in the Torah, all you need kavanah for is the first pasuk Shema Yisrael. How do we know that? Where did that come from? So it's not 100% clear in the Gemara what the final source of that is. One could suggest that's what the word Shema means. Shema means Shemaya, to understand. Means that they didn't know that Yosef understood Hebrew. They didn't think Yosef could hear Hebrew. They thought that he didn't understand the Kishameya, as the interpreter was between them. So they assumed that Yosef didn't understand what they were saying. So the word Shemaya in Tanakh sometimes means to physically hear, sometimes means to understand, to comprehend. So it could be that that's what it means here. Shema Yisrael means pay attention, concentrate. Don't just rattle off the words. Shema Yisrael. So when you say the words Shema Yisrael, you have to have kavanah, you have to pay attention. Listen, hear, O Israel. Think about it, Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech Manoi, he's the Melech, he's the Hoya Hoya, and he's the Melech in the whole world, and like Cain is up. So just pay attention. Don't say Shema for an hour and a half. Say the pulse. Those 2 seconds, things to say Shema, you should pay attention, think what the words mean. So that's what the Rashba says. That's what we pass. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes this from the Pesach. That's what we pass by Halacha. This is a real Din HaTorah. When you say Kriyas Shema, people are not always aware of this. You're supposed to not pay attention to what you're saying. That's a potentially not really Yetzi Kriyas Shema Mikra Din. If you just said the words drain in the middle of nowhere, again, you don't have to have these deep levels of Kavanah. Just the basic Poshah Perish Amilas. So that's critical. So the way we accept the Halacha, that the mitzvah Kriyas Shema is different from other mitzvahs. That it requires an added level of kavanah above and beyond other mitzvahs. Let's say the mashal nuchas tefillah. So there's a famous Reb Chaim in nuchas tefillah in the Rambam. Reb Chaim explains that if you daven without kavanah, it's not like other mitzvahs that you can argue, do you need kavanah, no kavanah? If a person is davening, even though he had him on the shem mitzvah, but he's not conscious and not aware of the fact that he's aimed lifnei Hashem, so then it's not a mice tefillah. I mean, the very definition of tefillah means the aimed lifnei Hashem. The person doesn't think that he's able to fear Melech. He's just rattling off the words. He's reading a book. So he's thinking about other things. So then that's not called the Maisa Tefillah. But Reb Chaim has that startling statement in his Chedushim. He says that din of Kavanah for Tefillah is ma'akeh for the entire Shemoneh Esrei. When the Gemara says that you have to have Kavanah, strictly speaking, only for the first bracha, that means just to pay attention to what the words mean. So Mikra did the Diyavid, as long as you concentrate on the first bracha, that's okay. But the basic notion of Eimer Lefnei HaMelech to concentrate the fact that you're davening, so that is ma'akev. Every single word of Shemoneh Esrei, that's ma'akev. So that's what the Chazanish responded back to Reb Chaim. So the Chazanish in his notes in the back of Reb Chaim said, if Reb Chaim's right, that every word of Tefillah requires that cognizance of Eimer Lefnei HaMelech, so then, lo shemana misha is palam ha'olam. We don't know of any person who ever davened never once. I don't know if anyone ever was here to Shemoneh Esrei, says the Chazanish. Says, whose mind doesn't wander once, is the Chazanish writing. Whose mind never wandered? It's the whole Shemesh, from Baruch to the entire Shemesh, your mind never wanted every single word you paid attention, every word you were thinking about from the Melech. He said, says the Chazanish, a joke. Whoever thinks like that, whoever reaches such level of Kavanah. So the Chazanish writes, Reb Chaim's right, no one ever was here to feel in their entire life. Okay. So we hope that Chazanish is right. But back to the story. So you find that there are some mitzvahs that require not just Kavanah, the Shei Mitzvah, but they require an added dose of kavanah of paying attention to what you're saying, the Kriyas Shema, Tefillah, etc. But l'chaira, no mitzvah requires more than that. Let's say I did a mitzvah, I know exactly I'm doing the Shei Mitzvah, Shem is Baruch. I'm not takeh l'shir, I'm not eichel kafah eichel matzah, I'm not reading Kriyas because I'm not a sedra, I'm doing the mitzvah, Shei Mitzvah. And I'm paying attention to exactly what I'm saying, exactly what I'm doing, but the truth is I have no idea why I'm doing what I'm doing. I never read the Sefer Achinuch. I never read Shem Shavuot Hirsch on Tamei Mitzvahs. I never opened up Moreh Nevuchim. I never read the Chveistus, the Tamei Mitzvahs. I have no idea why I'm doing what I'm doing. If you would ask me, tell me what the religious, spiritual dimensions of Lulav is. I never heard of the Medrash about the four parts of the human body. I never when I tell the Marshal I said the Sukkah. I'm doing the Shem Mitzvah. Hashem is Barach. Why? I never read Parshas Yavar. I have no idea why. Because Kodesh Baruch Hu don't want to do it. So I'm sitting in the sitting from Zoom, sitting in the Sukkah. So I'm doing all the mitzvahs. I'm a good boy. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. But I have very, very limited understanding of why I'm doing it. I never listen to the rabbi's drasha on Yom Tov morning when he explains to me why I'm doing the mitzvahs. I go to the shiur, I go to the halacha shiur. I never come to shiur at the end of Thursday. I never listen to the chumash, I never listen to the machshava, I'm a drush. I'm not into that stuff. I'm a very meat and potatoes guy. I'm a very, I'm a real misnaget. I just tell me what to do. Don't tell me why I'm doing what I'm doing. So I'm not interested in why. So is that okay? I mean, that's not a great level of Avodas Hashem. We like you to understand a little bit why you're doing. Even though at the end of the day, we don't really know the Tami HaMitzvahs, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu did give us things that we can relate to. Every mitzvah, most mitzvahs, except maybe for the real hardcore chukim, most mitzvahs have some kind of a lesson we can walk away with. And those lessons are important. And the Rambam tells us this very, very often. The Rambam at the end of each of the Sfarim of Mishnah Torah gives you a little bit of a musra, a little bit of a philosophy, a little bit of a shkafa that you could derive from the mitzvahs. And the Gedolei HaRishonim, Sefer Chinuch and others spent a lot of time focusing on Tamei mitzvahs. If we have nothing to gain from understanding mitzvahs, then we're Shema wasting the time. The answer is no. Of course we have things to gain. We have to believe that the mitzvahs are fundamentally chukim. But Afal Pi Kein, we're supposed to still derive something from them. We're supposed to learn lessons from them. We're supposed to help us become better people, more moral people, more ethical people, more religious, more spiritual, better people than Al Machu and Khaverai. We're supposed to perfect Amidus, and the mitzvah is supposed to help us do those things. So even though we don't necessarily know the absolute time of mitzvah, but we're still supposed to derive a little bit from them. That's what the Mefarshim explained. We say in the Pasuk before Tkiyah Shofar, Tuv Tam Vadas Tam Deini Ki Mitzvah Hamanti. It's almost a contradiction that we ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu to explain to us the Tuv Tam Vadas. Explain to me the wisdom. Let me understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. Because I believe in your mitzvahs. Amuna means I have no kashas, I have no questions. I believe in the mitzvahs. Does the guy believe or not believe? So the answer the Mefarshim say is Tuv Tam Vadas Tam Deini. Rabbeinu Shalom, please explain to me, how could Tkiyah Shofar affect my life? Tell me what impact Sukkah, Matzah, Tefillin, Tzitzis, Mezuzah, how are they going to make me a better person? How are they going to make me a better Eved Hashem? How are they going to fine-tune me spiritually? At the end of the day, whether I figure that out or not, keep mitzvah amanti. I do mitzvahs anyway. We don't take the attitude that, you know, listen, Rabbi, unless you can explain to me what I'm going to gain from this mitzvah is not for me. You know, Shmiras HaMitzvahs is not, NTSY introduction, Shabbaton. You know, you like it, you don't like it, so you bail out. But no. Ki Mitzvah Amanti. That wasn't negative about NTSY. I love NTSY. I work for NTSY. Just saying that attitude in Mitzvahs is not like it's a little smattering. We'll learn a little bit, and it'll touch our soul, and we'll get all excited, and we'll dance at Avdallah and Shai. No, it doesn't matter whether you do dance, you don't dance, whether you are excited, not excited. Ki Mitzvah Amanti. Mitzvahs are here because the Rebbeinu Shlomo said to do so. But don't take that cold approach to mitzvahs, not to understand it. You should try. Tuv Tam Vadas Tam Deini. It's a good thing to understand mitzvahs. You're supposed to try to understand mitzvahs. You're supposed to try to delve into Tami HaMitzvahs. Like the Mefarshim explained, that they call Tami HaMitzvahs. Tam means taste. The real reason why we eat food is not for the taste, except for the Rashba and the Suya of Tam Kikah. But the real reason why we eat the food is for nutrition. And the Rebbeinu Shalom gave us an extra bracha that the food tastes good also. Sometimes there's a inverse proportion between how good the food is for us and how good it tastes. Sometimes the better tasting food is not healthiest. The sesame chicken is probably not as healthy as the raw broccoli, but it definitely tastes better. So, Tuv Tam Vadas, Rebbeinu Shalom, we're doing mitzvahs because that's our nourishment, our souls require. Of course, we have to do mitzvahs. And we ask you, Rebbeinu Shalom, let this food taste good also. Let the mitzvahs taste yummy and delicious. We want to have more. If it tastes better, we'll eat more of them. But in the world of halacha, is it critical that we understand why we're doing what we're doing? The answer is most probably not, except for a few mitzvahs. So there's a famous Bach. We spoke about this in the past. The Bach is a famous comment. That there are three mitzvahs that the Torah spells out that you have to understand what you're doing and why you're doing what you're doing. Leman tiyater shebeficha, leman yededer seichem, leman tizkeru. Tzitzis, tefillin, and sukkah, the Torah says itself in our Torah, it's not enough just to do the ma'aseh mitzvah. L'ma'an, the Rebbeinu Shalom wants you to do the mitzvah so that you understand and remember. Tzitzis b'tzayim, and Anan Yaakovid, and it serves to remind you to do other mitzvahs, and tzitzis. That's a good thing, that's a positive thing, and the Rebbeinu Shalom actually puts that into the mitzvah itself. There's even one opinion that says that if you're not paying attention to those things, maybe you're not even yaitzeh b'diyah, but that far we don't come. We should report to people God that says, no, of course you yaitzeh tefillin, whether you thought about it or not. You yaitzeh tzitzis of sukkah, even if you didn't pick your eyes up once during the whole meal of sukkah, and look up to Nani HaKovid and say, gee, wow, what an amazing experience I'm undergoing. Even if you didn't do that, you're still yaitzeh. But l'chadchila min ha-Torah is supposed to do that, says the Bach, because these are l'maz, the Torah says, l'maz, l'maz, l'maz. That's why the Bach explains where the tour in these three places explains to you what the reason for these mitzvahs are. The Torah is a sefer halacha. The Torah was not giving drushes on Yom Tov morning. He wasn't giving a sermon on Saturday morning. He's writing a sefer halacha. So why does he stop at the beginning of the chassidus, tefillin, and sukkah and give you a whole background as to why you're doing what you're doing? The answer is because that's halacha also. These are l'maan mitzvahs. So So it could be that there may be a few other mitzvahs out there that also have the dimensions of Laman without the word Laman in there. And one of them actually may be matzah. The famous Mishnah at the end of Pesachim says, the person doesn't mention the Pesach Matzah Mar, he didn't fulfill his obligation. Of course, it's an unclear statement. Which mitzvahs are we talking about? It says, it doesn't say which chayv you are yotze. So the Rambam Hilchos Chametz Matzah puts Rabbi Gamliel's statement in the mitzvah of Sipur Tzitzis Mitzrayim. The Rambam writes, the mitzvah of Magid, Megadat al-Bincha, is not fulfilled just with a story. You can't just put in a real great play and throw a couple of frogs at each other and sing Dayenu and dance around the table and say, we're yaitz in the mitzvah. Unless you connect the mitzvah Salayla to the Sipur, unless you say clearly, now we're taking that of Mitzrayim, now listen to Rabbi Yisai, Pesach Matzah Mar, for the following, so you did not fulfill the mitzvah in the shlemus. The mitzvah of Sipur Tzitzis Mitzrayim requires the Sipur of the Nisim and the Sipur of the mitzvahs. That's what it says. Ba'al v'rziyasa Hashem libetzei Mitzrayim. Zeh, I'm pointing to the Pesach Matzah Mar, so in the Torah I have to talk about the mitzvah Laila. But Tosfos doesn't seem to say that. Tosfos himself seems to understand. And the Ran also quotes this idea that Le'yotzei Dechavosei is not referring to Sipur Tzitzis Mitzrayim. Sibatiz was right. I said the Asamakas, I sang Dayenu, I sang Rabban Mayinu in China, I said the Rabban Mayinu in China. The Pesach Matzah Mar is a different mitzvah legamer. The Yotzei Chavasa means that you weren't Yotzei Bishlemusa, the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, the mitzvah Korban Pesach, the mitzvah Maror. You didn't fulfill these mitzvahs of Achila in their entirety unless you spoke about them also. Why? Why not? What does that mean? So the Ran says, the Chachim you weren't Yotzei. It means, but the Avenue Yotzei, the Chachim you weren't Yotzei in the Torah. Why? Because the Torah says, Ramaytam Tibach Pesach. The Marta means it's not enough just to bring a Korban Pesach. You have to talk it up also. It's not enough to eat matzah. You got to talk it up. It's not enough to eat more. You got to talk it up. So the Marta Zevach Pesach teaches me, says Taisus, that these mitzvahs have to be elaborated upon, have to be spoken about, and you have to talk about the Tamei HaDovar. And if you didn't talk about why you're eating Pesach Matzah tomorrow, not be what you ate in Magid. Magid, you ate it with Dayenu, with the Sigi and the Esenachas, I'm sure. You are Yaitzeh Bishvelusa Pesach Matzah Mar. Because Pesach Matzah Mar have to be talked up by Matim Zerich Pesach. So that's Ka'ein, the idea that the Bach is saying in the Torah by Tzitzis, Tefillin, and Sukkah. I remember I heard this many years ago from one of my rabbis from high school, Mordechai Markish Shlita. So he said over the Shlita Torah, he said over this idea that what the Rabbi, what Tosfos is writing in Pesachim about Pesach Matzah Mar is Ka'ein with the Bach is saying about his mitzvahs. And he linked it to something else also. He linked it that it could be that Rashi Shita is, that is a more of a shofar issue, that the saying of Malchus, Rosh, and Shofar is a mitzvah d'araisa. Why? Based on what? So Zichra Trua also teaches me that it's not enough just to blow the shofar. You have to talk it up also. You have to explain why you're blowing. So the Malchus, Rosh, and Shofar are the explanation as to why we're doing. We're blowing shofar to be Malach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're blowing shofar to remember the Akeid. We're blowing shofar out of Matan Torah. All the themes that appear in the Shemoneh Esrei of Musaf, Matzahs, and Shofars are all part of the Tamei HaMitzvahs of Tkiyas Shofar. So we find this idea that exists in Halacha that there are some mitzvahs that all you need is bare bone kavana. And the other mitzvahs, that you have to understand what you're doing a little bit. You don't have to understand the reason. You have to be cognizant of what you're doing, the Kriya Shma and the Tefillah model. And then there may be a third level of mitzvahs that require that you have to know why you're doing what you're doing. So it's not enough just to do it l'shem mitzvah. It's not even enough just to be aware of it. You have to do l'shem mitzvah with the proper understanding as to why, what's the why behind these mitzvahs. And that could be the special parasha of Rabbi Gamliel HaEmer, Kosh L'Omer Shlosh L'Bam, again, unlike the Rambam, within the view of Shittas HaTais and Shittas HaRan. So Kol Panim Kavanah plays a major role at the Seder. It plays a role in terms of the Yaitz in the mitzvah, whether you need Kavanah for Matzah or not, depending on the Ran, the Rambam, Shkinana. It plays a role, perhaps an additional role as well. There's one other area that Kavanah may help us, a little bit of a quirk, a little longer should a twist at the Seder. That's the age-old dilemma that we have when sometimes the Seder is running a little bit too late. So we know that L'chadchila, one is supposed to really finish the halachic parts of the Seder before Chatzos. The halachic part of the Seder ends with the last cup, drinking the last cup at the end of Hallel. That's the halachic end of the Seder. So the chetchila that should be a chetzos. Why? Because there was a machlekes atenoim between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. When is the soul's manachilus pesach ben Torah? According to Rabbi Akiva, it's still the morning. According to Elazar, it's still chetzos. The Gemara says that machlekes carries over for matzah as well. And that machlokes l'chayr should carry on to all the mitzvahs halayla, the rice, the rabbanon, everything should be done within this not of a chiddush kavur base. How do we pass in the halachos? It's machlokes Rishayim. It's not clear from the sugya what the maskan is. It's machlokes Rishayim and a pass. It should not be passed to sfeik the dina. And therefore, one has to be very, very extremely careful to at least get the first kazayis before chatzos. And really, one should try to get the afikoman also before chatzos. And l'chadchila, one should even try to get all four kaisers in before chatzos. Some Rishayim are a little bit more makel about the Rabbanim parts, the Halal and the Al-Kaisis, because maybe the Rabbanim, some of the Rabbanim Kula, but l'chadchila, the Rambam quotes, you should try to get in the whole seder, including the Al-Kaisis before chatzos. But the matzah for sure, afikoman, is a very serious shayla. About the shayla afikoman before chatzos. So there's a famous shayla that arises all the time. You're sitting by the seder, it's 10 minutes before chatzos, you're not the guy in charge, and you just started Shulchan Aruch 3 minutes ago, you're not going to finish the meal by chatzos, so what do you do? So there's a famous eitzah from the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer said, you should take a piece of matzah, 2 minutes before chatzos, and eat it with the following condition. If Rabbi Elazar ben Azai is right, and I have to eat the afikoman before chatzos, this should be my afikoman. And if Rabbi Akiva is right, and I don't have to finish the afikoman by chatzos, this is not my afikoman. What do you do now? Wait 2 minutes till the clock strikes 12:50, whatever it is, but it's about chatzos. You have the chatzos, you continue your meal. Why? According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, you were yotzi afikoman already, and it's after chatzos, so the seder is over. It's like the next morning. The issue of eating after the seder is only also the din that you're not allowed to eat after afikoman. Is only you're not allowed to eat kol zman. It's still a mitzvah of the seder. I can eat at the kiddush tomorrow morning. I can eat lunch tomorrow morning. So the din of shiat tam afikoman tam with tam as befiv is only true kol zman that it's still a lela seder. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, after chatzos, it's not a lela seder anymore. So after chatzos, you can eat according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. And how can you eat according to Rabbi Akiva? It's still a lela seder. The answer is because you made it tonight that the afikom should only be chal as afikom if Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria is right. If Rabbi Akiva is right, so it's not chal as afikom. So it's just like a regular piece of matzah. As much of a matzah. Do you remember eating my soup? So now, according to Rabbi Akiva, I wasn't yotzei yet. But I have another 6 hours. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, when they finally get the afikom, so I'll eat another piece of matzah. And that'll be the afikom of the holidays. That was the famous Absal Lomdisha word from the Avnei Nezer. Some except for the other days, it's nice and did it. If you're running your own Seder, you're a balabos, you're married, running your own Seder, you should try to finish the Seder like a mensch by finish the fourth course before Chatzos if you can. And I was a little boy, so you always come to shul on the first day of Yom Tov, and it was always like a contest. Whose Seder went the longest? So you always felt like you weren't so frum. If your Seder only ended at one, you were like the non frum kid on the block. The really frum kids went until like 3 o'clock. And the really frum ones were still going in the middle of Shabbat. They were still rolling. They go until Shavuos. So that's like you did. It's the guys who finished before Chatzos, so they're doing what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The other guys were following not what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Whatever they were following, whatever they were doing. It was like the same thing like fasting. When we were little kids, we'd always come on Yom Kippur, we'd always compete. Who's free? Who's going to break the fast later? Who's here? So it's all like you did. We were all 5, 6 years old. The dishes of the favorites. That's also, you're not allowed to have little kids fast. You have to give them to eat. Chinuch for fast doesn't start until much, much later. So whoever was keeping the fast longer was being more of a balaveira, more there. So that was the contest. So to learn what things to get excited about. It's usually the opposite of what the little kids think. Anyway, back to our story. So the bottom line is Kavana plays a critical role in so many different dimensions of mitzvahs, and of course in the dimension of the mitzvah of Achim. So just want to conclude now. It's a little bit derech drush that there's a pasuk. We say every day, these 2 times, the of the B'chol of Avchem. You have to be Eved Hashem B'cholev. Of course, that's always true. But it's especially true this time of year on different levels. First of all, as we get closer to Pesach, what better time is there to begin to focus on Avedis Hashem than when we become Avdei Hashem? Luka Hanlu Avdei Hashem. The Medrash says that Paro is running through the streets of Mitzrayim. Power in pajamas in the middle of the night, he's running to the streets of the tribe, screaming and yelling, "You're not my avodim anymore." To be freed on Pesach night is not just to be freed from power. So here's the story. It means you become an eved to the Rebbeinu Shalom. What greater thing? There's no greater privilege, no greatest chus in this world than being eved to the Rebbeinu Shalom. So, of the B'chol of Avchem is the time to focus on being eved to Hashem Yisbarach. What does it mean practically? How do we go about being an Eved Hashem Yisbarach? How do I do the mitzvah of B'chol of Avchem? So the famous Gemara Maseches Tainis, the base tells us that the word B'chol of Avchem, the phrase is a little bit strange. Normally Avoda has a halachic context, usually means Avoda is a Karbonis. Karbonis are brought with your hands, not with your heart. So What does the Torah mean when it says you have to be Eved Hashem with your Ben Shalom, with your entire heart? But how does that work? How do you do that exactly? The Gemara says Yom Zot Tefillah, that refers to that. So there's Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban, about what exactly does that mean. So the Rambam is a famous Rambam, the Eved Tefillah, that says, it means there's a mitzvah deraisa to daven every single day. The Rambam understood that if the Torah doesn't give you a zman misuyam, a zman mugbo for a mitzvah, you have to do it every day. So the Torah says, it's made every single day. It's like the Pribugadim writes, it says, how often? Every day. How do we know you have to put on tefillin every single day, says the Pribugadim? Because it doesn't say nothing. Sometimes the Torah says, make kiddush once a week in Shabbos. The Torah says, eat matzah once a year. Some mitzvahs, the Torah says, you do once in a lifetime. Write a sefer Torah. You don't have to write a new sefer Torah every day. It's understood. So some mitzvahs are done once a week, once a month, some once a year, once in a lifetime. Some mitzvahs are done as response to certain events. Let's say, if you happen to have a four-corner garment, then you put tzitzis on. If you happen to see a kantzipa, then you do shalach haken. If you happen to have a house, then you put a mezuzah. So there are certain mitzvahs that need a gorein for the chiyuv to kick in. Other mitzvahs, the zman is a gairim. Other mitzvahs, dirias, they avas Hashem, avas Yisrael, avas kemoicha. So that's an ongoing mitzvah. Certain mitzvahs are all the time, but certain mitzvahs are daily obligations. So the Rambam understood that tefillah is a daily obligation. Not three times. That's the Rabbanan. You know, if the daven Shmoneh Esrei, you can talk to the Rebbe Shlomo, whatever language you want to talk to him. That's the mitzvah. There's a bare bone minimum tefillah midaraisa every single day. For men and for women, the Rambam writes explicitly being those three. And the Rabban in different mitzvahs disagrees and says, no, that tefillah is not a daily obligation in Torah, but what it is there's an event that's a geirim, that's an echayir of tefillah midaraisa. What's the geirim? Zot the Ramban in different mitzvahs an eis tzara. And there's a very, very specific, pressing, dire need. That's a mechayiv of tefillah midaraisa. How do you know that? So the Rabban brings a model, brings a mashal to kiyas hachatzitzus. The Torah says, "V'chisavu mulchama bi'artzchem atzar atzereschem." So the Gemara in Taina says that you blow the silver trumpets, not just b'shas mulchama mamish. You blow them al atzar atzereschem, other tzaros. You can have nebucharav, you can have a hunger, you can have a drought, you can have a magefa, you can have a pestilence, you can have a who knows what, you can have nebuch, you can have a coronavirus, kafel, shas tzaros. So there's a mitzvah deraisa to kiss chatzaitzus. So why we don't blow chatzaitzus now is a different story. Maybe on the Eretz Yisrael, a different, you know, chatzaitzus of mikdash, whatever the longest is to why most people don't blow chatzaitzus today. But the Ramban writes that the idea of kiss chatzaitzus is a form of tefillah. The Torah says, v'niskaat of neshim lekechem, it's a mechanism, it's a vehicle of tefillah. The Ramban says it's self understood. Of course you need a davar when you blow chatzaitzus. Like when you blow shof, of course you accompany the tkiyas with the tefillah. So there's a mitzvah deraisa, the davar b'yeis tzor, says the Rabban. So when you daven mincha today, according to the Rabban, it's not a tefillah derabbanan. 6 weeks ago it was a tefillah b'derabbanan. Hopefully that Shem soon will be a tefillah derabbanan again. But right now it's a tefillah deraisa, according to the Rabban, b'lishum safek. Every time you daven these days, and you ask the Rebbe for Fa'ein Hashem and Rafa, you ask the Rebbe Shalom for a full shleima for the eyes of the entire world. So when you ask the Rebbe Shalom, Galena Mil Manchbech, we ask the Rebbe Shalom for Geula, Geula means Geula from Tzaras. So of course, when we ask the Rebbe Shalom with St. Alamot, we ask the Rebbe Shalom that we should have a parnosa, gefelach, people's parnosas are mamish crumbling, people's life savings are falling upon gefelach, people are out of work, and so many other Tzaras that are coming. It's an ace Tzara on so many multiple levels. There's so many things to daven for. You daven chenei micha David Maskel. Goshem should give the chokhmah. The scientists should find the vaccines. They should find the cure. They should find medicines that work in this machla. So many things. Every bracha l'shmoneh esrei should daven for. Mashiach should come. The whole thing should be become a thing of the past. So many things to daven for. So it's mamash an eis tzara. She'im lecha eis tzara. God mizeh nebuch. Most of us never saw such an eis tzara. So such an eis tzara as a tefillah d'araisa, loved b'chol avavchem, according to all opinions, not only the Rambam, even according to the Ramban, is a mitzvah to be eved Hashem b'chol lev b'chol nefesh. But then the Ramban also writes a few other interpretations about what loved b'chol avavchem also means. The Ramban is different mitzvahs. When he writes, quotes from the Sifrei, loved derech talmud, learning, libid ater is also an avavida. It's hard work. Not the easiest thing to work with Suga Rangitun to a Rambam, to a Raivin, to a Chayim, to a Chizkinach, to a Ktsois, to a Sivis, to a Shach, to a Chizkinach. These are hard stuff. It's an Avoid the Kashim and Mikdush. That's right. Aim the Chasim Chagadel Mizu, Halu Avde Hashem, and it's Chost, have Torah, the whole Yitzis Mitzrayim. It's just to get the Torah, just it's all there, just to get Matan Torah. It's an Avoid though. It's an Avoid the Shasim Chashal Ava. There's no greater Avoid of Limit HaTorah. And then the Ramban writes and another meaning of Lav Ruchel Levavcha. Lav Ruchel Levavcha means pay attention to your mitzvahs. Don't just do mitzvahs and Nashim Lumada. Do mitzvahs with care, with attention, with concentration. Don't just wake up in the morning. My tzedakah, my mitzvahs, my avos Hashem, just go through the motions, my Shabbos, my yontif, chit-chat, how can we get us davening fast as possible? The mitzvahs of the geshmak, the mitzvahs with the care, the mitzvahs with the shooting, the mitzvahs with the concentration, with the love, with the devotion, those are l'av d'mechol avachem. So when l'av d'mechol avachem is the form of mitzvahs tvila, l'av d'mechol avachem is tvila Torah, l'av d'mechol avachem is more care, more attention, paying attention, care about the mitzvahs properly, with the right machshav, the right intent. The mitzvah should bring us closer to Rabban Shalom. They're all right, they're all true. Eil Beilu. Rabban Shalom's words are Kapata Shifai Setzel, the one condition says that you know, when you bang on a stone, so it breaks 70 pieces. So to each word of Rabban Shalom breaks the 70 different components. And they're all true, they're all right, they're all part of the same stone. So, Baruch Hashem, we have so many things to focus on at this time, as we come close to the Zman Chiruseinu, we celebrate Zman Chiruseinu, and the greatest Chirus is to become an Eved to Rabbanu Shalom. So, I think we're going to officially end the Zman today. I think we all have a lot of work to do in terms of Pesach preparations. I know myself, I have plenty of things to do in the next 2 days. I know everybody here also, please be extra helpful around the house. In terms of your mothers, in terms of those who are married, whose wives will be making the Seder for the very, very first time, probably something they weren't expecting to be doing in the first couple of years of marriage. So it's an extra added strain on some of the young wives now, and definitely on the mothers, no question about it. And everyone, the tension in the air is so high for so many other things. Everybody's so, on edge. And so the added strain of getting ready for Yontif, sometimes getting, put people over the edge. So it's time to roll up your sleeves and help us to learn a little bit in between. Mashallah, Yom B'Laila. Our Vayda for the next 2 days will be to try to help as much as we can around the house and try to get things ready for Yontif as best as we can. And if we have a little bit of time to learn in between, Matar and Madoy. So hopefully, Metz Hashem will pick up again, tentatively, join Chol HaMoed. So I think what we're going to try to do, we will try to iron out the details of the schedule. Does anyone have any questions about the schedule? I assume nobody's doing anything else during the day. So I think we're probably pretty open in terms of Zmanim. So I would just coordinate between the yeshiva and the shul. There'll probably be two different shurim every day of Chol HaMoed. Again, not too many days. It's Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Maybe it's a Shabbos, a little something we'll see. But for the days of Chol HaMoed, so we're going to try to have two different shurim. There'll be one set of shurim. Again, everyone can obviously listen to everybody else's shiur. It's all free for everybody. I think for the Olam, for the Shul Olam, we'll actually be doing, there'll be a little chazar of some of the Bacham Rashiva may want to hear a little bit back on Chabot to Pesach, Asa B'Masho, may bring back some nice memories from time gone by. So those will be the Shul Shurim. So again, all the Bacham are definitely entitled to some chazar in that also, I imagine. Maybe we'll come with some new things then also. And for the Bacham Rashiva, and again, all the Balbatim are welcome to that also. So there'll be a different sugya. I'm not sure yet whether we'll have one big sugya for 3 days. Maybe we'll have three short sugyas each day. So again, we'll to be determined sometime between now and the Shabbos. So keep your eyes open for the schedule. Yet Hashem, we'll have. I want to wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful Yom Tov. And again, if any of the Bachurim or anyone needs me for anything, so please reach out to me the next couple of days as well. Okay. I wish you be well. Hope Yet Hashem will reconvene sometime during Chol HaMoed. Okay.
Have a good Yom Tov for Rebbe.
Have a good Yom Tov for Rebbe.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.